Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about.
I had a chuckle at what the bonehead is this week, because I was trying to, like, be surprised with certain topics, like your max pack tomorrow. I won't look at it. I won't look at Bob's bottom feeders.
We may have the same team in our top five in bottom feeders tomorrow.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
And then I saw Bob's Bonehead of the Week, and it says,
my dad.
Okay.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Your old man, for what reason?
We've got a story. Right.
Ooh, I'm excited.
You can pot the music down a little bit this one. More for storytelling time than Bonehead of the Week. Thank you very much. Yeah. Put the music back on. I don't care. I'm not washed.
No.
Maybe I am. I don't know. We'll find out soon.
We'll find out when you walk to your car.
Yeah, exactly.
Day, week, month, or year is washed.
Exactly.
My back is broken.
Hey, welcome to, So my mother turned 75 on November 14th.
Hell yeah.
Right? A year after my dad turned 75. For my dad's 75th birthday, we all went to Italy. For my mom's 75th birthday, we're having dinner. Right? And this is like, because it's just, I don't know why it happened this way. My sister sometimes is a pain in the ass. We all wanted to take my mom away. And six of one, half a dozen the other, we're going to have a dinner the night before Thanksgiving, right? So we're at this restaurant that they love, and it's called Cafe Navona. And my dad's like, I've been going here for years. I know the owner. You got to get this. Okay, fine. Great. Great restaurant. Big round table in the corner where we're sitting, all 10 of us at a table. Round tables are the best when you have a group, right? You want to go out. You want to be able to see everybody, talk to everybody, do all that kind of stuff. And so I know as the older sibling, right, I'm going to be the guy that everybody's looking at. Who's giving mom a toast? Okay. So we all kind of get seated at the table and I cling the glass a little bit, right? And I get ding, 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 ding. You know, everybody kind of quiet and I get ready to give a toast. And my nephew, who's 9 or whatever, he looks at me and goes, I haven't gotten my Shirley Temple yet. Let's wait. Okay, fine. I'll wait for your Shirley Temple. Okay, fine. Shirley Temple comes. Ding, 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 ding. Okay, I'm about ready to make a toast. And I said, I want to raise a glass to my mom. And I paused. And my dad just jumps in. Let me tell you about... I'm like, hang on a second here. I'm in the middle of giving this toast. Okay? And everybody's laughing because he just barrels in like a, you know, bull in a china shop type of thing. And I'm like, Dad, I'm trying to give this toast to mom, right? And she's 75 and I start to say, you know, heartfelt stuff and, you know, and on and on. So I start the toast over again. I'm giving the heartfelt toast. I pause because emotions start to kick in. Mm. My dad again jumps right in. Well, let me tell you about my wife. They've been married, guys, since 1971. They've been dating since the late 60s, 1967 maybe, okay? 67, 68, somewhere in that range. She's 75 years old. She's been by my dad's side for all of these years. They are a codependent relationship like you've never seen. They've got one car. They do everything together. Everything. My mother's raised this family. She's got grandchildren. She was a hell of a teacher back in her day. My dad decides to toast my mother and say, to 75 years of my wife, who is a great cook and organizer.
Oh. Oh, my God.
To which the entire table just erupts. And everybody in the restaurant at this point is now looking at us. I would like to toast my wife's 75th birthday. She is a great cook and organizer.
Huh. Oh, God.
That's why you interrupted me.
That's what you had locked and loaded?
And that's what you had ready to go.
I didn't know your dad was Harrison Butker.
I mean, my wife, my mom, 75 years old. You know, birthed two children, lost her dad, lost her brother, lived a kind of hard life, you know, took care of my grandmother till her mid-90s. Put me and my sister, did all this stuff for us. I couldn't have asked for a better mother when I was growing up. And my dad toasted to being a good cook and organizer.
Had some good dinners. It was
super
clean.
Nice lady, too. Yeah.
Organizer.
That's vague, but it's honest.
I mean, that's what you had.
I love it.
Oh my! So I've texted a lot of people, and people are like, "Well, I can understand. She probably keeps his pills together and the right, you know, thing." And I'm like, "Yes,
M through S.
Yep. All your pills are ready to go. All your doctor appointments. These people are so dependent on each other. They got cataract surgery on the same day.
Oh yeah.
How did you get there? Well, yeah. We took the senior bus, and then our friend picked us up and drove us home. You had cataract surgery on the same day. Neither of you could see. Who organized that?
Somebody in the text says, Richard of the Week, cheers, your dad takes the cake.
And yep. I love my dad, but I mean, my God, Dad, a great cook and organizer.
I mean, organizer's nice. I mean, God forbid we be, I mean, your wife organizes pretty much a lot of stuff.
But you know what I would say? Hey, here's my wife. What an unbelievable mother. I mean, she could have been the best mother for my children.
Well, props to your dad. You know what not to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic grandma to my grandkids. Uh-huh. You know, the rock of the family's kept everything together. You know, whatever. She's a great cook and organizer. To my wife. Happy 75th, honey. You're a great organizer.
From the 816, what'd your dad get your mom for Christmas? A vacuum cleaner and quesadilla maker?
No, they're driving to Florida.
Oh.
Right now?
In a couple of days, yes.
And I wonder who's driving.
My dad.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah. No, my mother doesn't drive that much.
He didn't say a great driver.
No. Yeah, no. Organizer. Yeah.
Who's organizing the trip?
She is.
Yeah. So he's not wrong. Because if he did it, they'd end up in like Alabama. Do we need to pull over and get directions? No.
I've organized this. I mean, the entire weekend, we could not stop laughing at that. It was the most incredible, unbelievable, and memorable.
Yeah.
Toast.
Yeah.
Because here it is a week later.
From the 913, Bob, did your mom organize her own birthday party?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep. I just have an image of Bob's parents with eye patches on fumbling around the kitchen.
That's the way it was for about a week. I'm not kidding. It's the way it was for about a week. They're sending pictures of these eye patches. I'm like, what is going on here? Who's in control?
Somebody says from the 816, it's never too late to learn new lessons from your dad.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Here I am going to turn 49 in April, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Never had I ever said a word to Bob's parents in my entire life. And we go to the BMA Foundation. And here comes his mother. It's so nice to meet you. You look so much better in person. And then his dad taps me on the arm, looks directly at his wife, and goes, do you see they got Maker's Mark over there? I said, I like these people a lot.
Hello, America.
I was like, I get it now. It makes sense. You're much better looking in person.
You're a great organizer and a hell of a cook.
That's what you came up with. Oh, God.
75
what
years.
What is it, 1950?
Yeah.
Like, is this Donna Reed and Leave It to Beaver and all this kind of stuff? I worked a hard day, honey. Put my slippers on. Make me a meal. Oh, my. And organize it. BBL stinky.
The fork's on the left, not the right. How am I supposed to eat? Let me organize the silverware for you.
The silverware. Oh.
Okay. Coming up on the other side, Tyrann Mathieu was on Up at Adams with Kay Adams plus Josh Briscoe. Two hot things to talk about on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Smash.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Nick Bolton, and you're listening to Fresco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Said his bonehead of the week was going to be his dad. I immediately had a vision of him sending you a selfie of him hitting like a 6-foot bong between his legs.
Oh, no, he found the bong. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Would have been incredible.
If you missed us yesterday, my 20-year-old nephew asked my dad 3 times at Thanksgiving dinner if he had a bong.
Somebody from the 870 says, I'm picturing Frank and Estelle Costanza having contact surgery.
Yeah, it's Frank and Estelle morphed with Morty and Helen Seinfeld versus, you know, the folks on Everybody Loves Raymond. It's just a hodgepodge of those three families mixed into one.
Oh, it's fantastic. So former Chief Tyrann Mathieu was on Kay Adams' show yesterday. She was in Kansas City doing the FanDuel release because I believe her show is brought to you by FanDuel. By the way, you can get all your bets legally in on the Missouri side. BetMGM has some really good props and promos for you there as well.
Cool.
Especially if you're a first-time person on that website, you'll get bonus bets and all that. So Tuesday
did you see
night,
Alex Gordon's bet yesterday?
I did not.
Yeah, he was the first bet. $20 on the Giants to win.
Oh. Like,
come on, Alex.
You just send him down and bring him back up. I kid. I love Alex Gordon. But no, Tyrann Mathieu was on, and she asked him the million-dollar question, and that was...
Can you come back?
I mean, I'm not going to say no. I won't say no.
Are we walking down to Brett's office after this? I'm not kidding.
I mean...
Are you going to go visit them today? Yes.
Yeah, probably. Mm. And I've stayed in contact with, obviously Brett and, but mostly, Coach Reed. His grandson actually plays on the football team with my son.
Oh, I know.
So, it's the family,
So that's the Honey Badger, a.k.a. Tyrann Mathieu, on with Kay Adams on Up and Adams, talking about if he would come back. And the laughter and the kidding, he's obviously done playing football. I don't think he would come back and play. That's my personal opinion. I don't think his value is coming back as a player. I think his value is coming back as like a defensive assistant, because I think we all can agree, and if I'm wrong in speaking for both of you, I think I could see a future of Tyrann Mathieu in the league as a coach. what that coach is, whether it's a defensive coordinator, whether it's a, you know, secondary coach, whatever it is, I think you could see that in his future. And I believe that more wholeheartedly because when we had Danon Hughes on earlier, he had talked about this.
When we had the linebacker Gay, and he was out there, and you had the juice, the energy, the, you know, swag surf on the sideline, and and you had all of that happening. Like, even if you were older in some places, you were able to kind of latch on to that youthful energy, and that would catapult you in certain times where, you know, you were just playing football and not making football plays. And I feel like maybe because we have some of those older guys, we don't have that same kind of juice.
So I hear Danon say that. I think of Tyrann Mathieu, and I see how he revamped that defense with Spags. If you're going to learn under somebody, you'd probably want to learn under the guy that brought you in and said, you're going to be my guy. I want you to reshape it. And I know that there were times where Tyrann Mathieu was, you know, ill-tempered and doing all this sort of stuff in the air and all that. But, like, I do think they missed that juice. And I'm not saying that Tyrann Mathieu has to be a complete red-ass rah-rah guy, get in your face. But he's one of those guys that will hold you accountable. He did that to players here. And if you're going to get into the coaching system, why not get into a system that you know, a guy you trust, that you can kind of say, okay, I did it. Maybe I don't want to do it, or maybe I do want to do it and move forward with it.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see if Tyrann would be a good football coach, too. I mean, because there's one thing to be a good player, and then to be a good coach, it's very rare. You know, you see, usually it's the, you know, the 250 hitter that becomes the hitting coach, not the George Brett's of the world, because they go, just do. And so, you know, and so I'd be interested if Tyrann could be, you know, a good coach. But, I mean, I don't know. I'm fine with where he is at this point in my career and where he is in his point in his career and, you know, and doing his thing. The other thing is, you got to make it really worth these guys' while. Now, you don't see a lot of former players anymore going into the coaching side of things because they've made enough money. They don't need to continue their career. I mean, I've heard it from how many players over the years. I'm not working 18 hours a day. Screw that, to make less money than I'm making now playing football. And so it's really unbelievable how cheap the NFL is. I was looking at a job posting yesterday. The NFL came across Twitter and it was who knows? You never know what life's going to present, right? And so there was a job posting for the NFL for the manager of their communications department, right? I said, oh, that's interesting. I've got a friend that does that at ESPN. Let me see, you know, I'll send it to him as well and see if he's interested in it. Do you know what that salary paid in Midtown Manhattan? This is how cheap the NFL is. $90,000 to $115,000 to live in Midtown Manhattan, and they say, we're not helping you with relocation.
What?
So this league believes...
What would that be like terms here, like $35,000 a year? Like,
I don't know.
Kansas City?
Maybe. I mean, 90 to 115 is not livable in New York City.
That's what I was going to say.
It's
half.
Not.
It's say 40 to 50.
It's just not a livable wage. So that's where the NFL is right now.
That's crazy.
They're 90 to 115 to be the manager of communications. You're going to be in charge of, like, marketing the international games.
It's a massive job.
It's a massive job.
You're really making six figures in the NFL?
In the NFL.
That's
barely making six figures.
That's just greed.
And that's where the NFL is. They're so cheap at everything that they do, and so except for paying their players. And when you look at these players that are playing now and they're making all this money, like I've heard Alex Smith, I think, say it at times, other guys, like, I've made all this money playing. I'm not going to go back and work these 12, 14 hour days to make pennies on the dollar being some low level assistant coach. I just don't need that in my life. And so I just don't know how many former players are going to sign up for that kind of work. But I just thought that was, to me, a micro, because I sent it to my friend at ESPN, which is based in Bristol, Connecticut. And I said, maybe you should apply for this job. He goes, I'd have to take a pay cut to go apply for that job. Doing the same thing at ESPN to the NFL would require him taking a pay cut to go do that. And so, like, that's why I look around this league and I'm like, they take care of certain people, but the rest of it, man, they're not paying. And like these lower level assistant coaches, what are they making? $300,000 a year. And if you're a player that's used to making $3-4 million a year for putting in a lot less time, do you really want to go back to that? And so I question that all the time when I hear these players that want to go into coaching. I say, are you going to go into coaching? Because you're going to take a major pay cut and put in like triple the amount of work that you had to do when you were a player in this league.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind. I just wouldn't mind seeing Tyrann Mathieu, like, try it out. And I feel like the best case scenario to try something out would be to try it out with something that you're familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to find out if it works or not. Plus, you're on like a small sample size. Like, you're here from weeks 14 to wherever the season ends. Mm-hmm. And maybe you picked up on something. Maybe you didn't. Because, I mean, we'd all agree that we'd love to see maybe Alex Smith be a coordinator. That'd be awesome.
Be fun. I would bring Alex Smith in a minute. But again, he was making how much money?
Right.
And how much is he getting on TV to hang out and do, you know, nothing really and get a nice salary versus coming in and being a coach and putting in all that time and like neglecting, you know, everything else that you work so hard. You work so hard to get to retirement. You want to enjoy it. You don't want, you'll be working harder in retirement as a coach than you were as a player.
Right. Let's get to it. Josh Briscoe.
He's the first voice you hear 3 hours before kickoff and the first voice you hear after the final whistle.
Future Hall of Fame receiver, future Hall of Fame quarterback, being able to figure it out for the last half of the season.
Here's the new Chiefs Radio Network pregame and postgame show host, Josh Briscoe.
You know, that's how we roll. We're going to try to tickle your tonsils on every play.
Josh Briscoe, you ever had your tonsils tickled, or do you still have your tonsils?
I'll tell you what, I do still have my tonsils.
Five for five.
I think whatever happens the rest of this season, we are going to have some absolutely tickled tonsils. And I think that has to mean good news for the rest of the season, I think. I don't know, I've heard that clip 500 times now, and I'm still not 1,000% sure I know what's going on, but I think it's a good thing. It's provocative, it gets the people going.
It does, but I mean, real quick on the tonsil thing. So we're 5 for 5 of everybody having their tonsils. I'm starting to think removal surgery was a scam perpetrated by the ice cream industry.
I think there's something to that.
I can
go ahead and find out mid next question if my wife does in fact have her tonsils. I think she had hers removed, but I gotta say I'm rolling with like the original loadout pretty much. I've got my wisdom teeth.
I do too. Yeah.
Yep. I don't know if that's something we should be concerned about. So Bob, you've had wisdom teeth this whole time, no problem.
No problem. Never once. Mine haven't even moved. And because I look at the X-rays every year when I go to the doctor, or every year, I guess they take them at the dentist, not every 6 months when I go. But you look at they're just there. They're not going anywhere. So I'm like, fine, I'm good with that.
Yeah, you know what I don't need? Elective mouth surgery.
Right, exactly.
Let's just go ahead and leave those suckers in there. If they're not going to cause a problem, they can hang out.
Right.
Speaking of the loadout, Briscoe, what do you need to see from this team this week against a ferocious Texans team playing with fire and tenacity?
I mean, it's going to be a multifaceted thing of like the health of the O-line, and it seems unlikely that Josh Simmons is going to be in that mix. Maybe Juwan Taylor, maybe Trey Smith. You have to have health. You have to have some really solid team performances from the guys that are going to be filling in, and you're going to have some schematic help from Andy Reid, Matt Nagy, and the things that'll keep this offense moving at the tempo you have to move at when you just don't think you're going to have very much time to wait and let something happen. Mahomes has had a lot of times this year. Sometimes it's worked and sometimes it hasn't, but he's had a lot of times this year where he's just held onto the football until the last possible second to try to make a play, to try to let somebody get open, to try to get that second effort. And we've seen so many times he just gets absolutely shatteracked when he's trying to throw the football. He can't take those hits on Sunday night. He can't even wait for those hits on Sunday night because you have to assume that that's getting all pretty sped up, which also means you've got to have wide receivers who can win against man quicker than they have most of this season. Everything is accelerated or else it's going to be a really long day at the office.
Well, yeah, and that's where you have to not be so predictable. I mean, we've talked about it for the better part of a month now, it seems like. It's really only been about 3 weeks, but I mean the predictability nature of this, you've got to be able to kind of run that football because you have an offensive line, as you guys have mentioned, that's in shambles right now due to injury, facing one of the best defensive fronts in football. How do you neutralize that? Well, it's not drop your quarterback back and let him go to work. It's, you know, kind of keep him off balance.
Right, and I think just kind of the way Andy Reid operates, I think we're probably going to see Rashee Rice in the extension of that, not literally taking the handoffs. I mean, maybe some. We've seen it a couple times. But I think we're probably going to see a lot of that screen game and a lot of those quick slants. I'm also completely fine with them running the football under center even, maybe doing some things with some pre-snap motion to try to get the defense second-guessing with their eyes when then you just do the easy thing of hand the ball off to Kareem Hunt, to Isaiah Pacheco, and try to get yourself 5 or 6 yards. That's one of the kind of like both encouraging and frustrating things is that they've run the ball decently well. We've been talking about it for that whole month, basically, that you mentioned. They've run the ball pretty decently, not like amazing, but pretty well without having anything that feels like a calling card. Like their calling card offensively is like zone runs out of shotgun, and that's not something that has worked out very well. But they don't have one clear identified, like, here's the thing we're building the entire offense out of. This game against Houston is an opportunity to try to sprinkle that up a little bit, have a little more variance, like you said, and be able to just make them wait the extra half tick that comes with second guessing if this ball is going forward, if the quarterback's going backwards, how the offense plans to attack this game. I think you're right. This is obviously in a season with a bunch of important game plans, and this is basically a playoff game, so maybe this isn't a very obvious thing to say. This is the most important offensive game plan of the year, because if you don't have the right thing dialed up here, your season's in real doubt.
Briscoe, you mentioned Pacheco and Hunt. Do you think we see some Damian Pierce this week? I know the forecast would say former team got him, gave him a week to kind of ram up to the game day standards for the Chiefs. Will we see a Damian Pierce sighting a lot this week if they are going to tickle tonsils?
My tonsils would be tickled, but I'm hesitant because I want to see Damian Pierce. I want to see the former team revenge game a couple of weeks after things just kind of fizzled out there. Mm-hmm. I also don't think I'm going to expect it. Like, maybe he does get the elevation and then you see maybe he steps out there on special teams. Maybe he gets the Breshard Smith carry that everyone's going, oh, maybe we're going to see more of these. It is a pretty tight turnaround. And obviously, like, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was getting the call up because the Chiefs trusted him in pass pro. There's no way that Damian Pierce knows all of the pass pro looks in this offense after being here for like 2 weeks. So I think that we could see him a little bit. I'd be really surprised if he got a sizable workload, but I'd like to see him out there. I just think it's worth a shot to try to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, I think it absolutely is worth a shot. At this point in time, you better start doing some stuff like that.
Right.
I know the pass pro is big, and if we were, 7-3 or 8-2 or something like that, I'd be like, yeah, I see the point that you're making right now. This team is 6-6. I don't give a rip about pass pro. I need guys out there on the field that can run the football and take a little bit of pressure off of Patrick Mahomes. You don't need to pass every single time. And Josh, and I'm not mad at you, obviously, about this, but the first thing we look for in a running back should not be how he handles pass pro.
Right. It's something that makes the guys like Damian Williams and Jerick McKinnon and some of those guys like cult heroes years down the line. But no, it's not why the Colts took Jonathan Taylor, right? So no, I understand that. And I'd like to see Pierce out there. I just have a hard time imagining that a guy that's been in Andy Reid's offense for 2 weeks is going to start getting significant workloads in that quick of a turnaround when we've seen them not even really want to get Elijah Mitchell involved. Breshard Smith has been here months and months longer than Damian Pierce. Pierce has some NFL experience, so maybe there's a little bit of a speed up in that learning curve. And a running back is different than a wide receiver in terms of I do think it's a little easier for him to get involved than he would be if the DeAndre Hopkins ramp up, who obviously got involved early and then kind of faded last year. There have just been so many of those weird things within the, like, well, let's see if this guy can come in and patch up this spot in the offense. Sometimes we've seen it work to a decent degree. Sometimes it's just been a quick footnote on the history of the season. I'd like to see him against Houston. I think keeping your expectations lower on overall snap counts is probably the way to go. I'd take the under on 10 snaps, absolutely. I'm trying to decide if I take the under on one snap, because I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that he gets called up.
When you look at this team all season long and the stuff that you do, obviously pre-post game, you eat, breathe, sleep Chiefs, what's the one thing that has frustrated you this year so far with the Chiefs? And I'm sure there's a laundry list.
Yeah, but I want to give you the one, because I have like a defensive one that I think might be the biggest problem, but that's not the question. The question is the most frustrating one. And I think the most frustrating one is that the offense, for whatever reason, the offense has just seemed to add up to less than the sum of its parts, where you do see an offensive line, obviously banged up now, but for the first, 12 weeks of the season, the offensive line was a healthier, almost best case scenario version of the offensive line. Josh Simmons just looks like a dude instantly. Mm-hmm. Kingsley Suamataia it's unfortunate that we're not spending more time talking about him because there have been other offensive issues. If the offense was rolling right now, we'd be talking about Kingsley a lot, because it is a incredibly impressive and kind of unlikely development arc for him, where he's just been good at left guard instantly and gotten better pretty much every week. Juwan Taylor has the penalties, but outside of that, which it's that's a part of his story, he's been very, very good at right tackle, and Trey Smith is very good when he's not injured is, you know, a recent thing for this year. You have all of that. You have the wide receiver group being in a better place than it was last season. And the offense still seems to move more slowly at times, or they still disappear for those chunks of time. When you think back to the pulling teeth of last year's offense, it was just productive enough, and it was just good enough in key moments. And this year, all of those numbers should add up better, and they just haven't clicked into place. So that's the thing, at midnight, staring at my ceiling, thinking, man, just what could have gone differently? What did I think was going to go differently? What do we all think was going to go differently? Because if you would have told me before the season, hey, I'll be talking to the guys on December 2nd, the Chiefs are 6-6, I'd go, oh no, what week did Mahomes get hurt in? And he's been out there, and he's played pretty good, not perfect, right, but pretty damn good football. So to me, that's the thing that really has stuck with me, is that it's just the offense hasn't added up the way that it looks like it should have on paper.
And you know, I don't hate to say this, because you mentioned everybody but Patrick Mahomes on that, you know, kind of that rundown of everything that should be good. And I mean, he's had very bad moments this year. The interceptions have been brutal. He's taken some sacks, the one in the Dallas game. What are you doing? Throw the football away and that kind of stuff. And so he's not hitting on deep balls as well as he used to right now. So are we afraid to say maybe the quarterback has regressed a little bit? Because if he doesn't have the interceptions against Jacksonville, he doesn't have the interception against, I don't know, Denver. We're talking about two more wins on the schedule, and we're not talking about a team that's in desperation mode right now.
Yeah, I want to be careful how I choose my words here, because I think it's reasonable to point to the mistakes and say that, hey, Patrick Mahomes' mistakes and the things that have set them back this year out of his hand, those matter, and those are things that he's at fault for and things he's talked about. I also just think that he's the least of the legitimate problems. I also, the thing I hesitate with is that just to me, it reminds me, I don't know that this is the case now, but some of these efforts from Mahomes remind me of how it felt, especially last week against the Cowboys. It reminded me how it felt late game Bucks Super Bowl, which is, again, it doesn't add up because the talent is better, but where you have some of these like superhuman efforts that either get completed but not for enough, or they get dropped and they hit Darrell Williams in the face mask back in that Super Bowl. And some of those moments where it feels like the trust has fallen from the offensive line quicker than the O-line deserved to lose that trust this year. So I think that there has been some of those signs that compound when it feels like Mahomes isn't as confident in his surroundings. And I think that can be roster. I think that can be talent. I think that can be coaching, where when you have an offense that can disappear for the middle two quarters of a game, or that routinely struggles to start fast. They started fast against Dallas and then disappeared in the second and third. When it just seems like you always have an act of the game where the offense goes three and out at an untimely moment, it seems like to me Mahomes starts kind of trying to ramp back up into some of that superhero stuff that he does better than anybody, to be clear. Like that he and Josh Allen can do at a level that absolutely can save your team and save your game. I would love to have seen a version of this offense this year that had a couple of those calling cards we talked about earlier, that has a couple of those easy buttons where Mahomes can know he can rely on XYZ, not the receivers, but just three different things that are always going to be a steady part of this offense, and so little about this offense has felt steady this year.
Yeah, and you know, I asked that because I wonder if Mahomes has a little bit of PTSD from having a bad offensive line, you know, for the last couple of years, and his first instinct is to not trust the offensive line, when his first instinct should have been all along to trust that offensive line.
Right, and I mean, we all remember why he would have that proverbial PTSD that built up, because we have seen that happen. And a lot of times it's the combination, like I mentioned earlier, of trying to get every single second you can back there, partially because you're, you know, backing up and afraid of your O-line, and also because you need your receivers to get that extra half second to try to get an angle on a defensive back they haven't separated from. And I think the receivers have in a lot of ways kind of underperformed some benchmarks this year. But again, it's really hard to isolate players and coaching in the NFL when it's all so tightly wound together. So I do think there's something to that where Mahomes has he has trusted a much better offensive line, not enough more than it's improved, if that makes sense. The O-line is better than I think what he has probably shown trust in. Mm-hmm. I do think, maybe I'm finding another positive slant for you here, but I think that we saw him earn that trust in Josh Simmons quite quickly. Like, that's been a guy that you do, and again, we're probably not going to see Simmons. That relationship seems to have bubbled up, like, instantly, and then even when Jalen Moore was out there playing pretty good, that, I think, kind of sparked some of that again for Mahomes. So it is all of these moving parts. They are all intertwined and interconnected, but I think that's how you can look around, and you can say, hey, a lot of people did good things this year, but a lot of these, I mean, really, everybody involved can take some slice of the blame.
Wouldn't be doing my job. Does your wife still have her tonsils?
I don't think so. Hold on, let me check. Renee, do you have your tonsils? She says no.
Okay.
All right.
Well, hey, your other homework is to go listen to the Loadout / Stay by Jackson Brown.
One I know, of my top I five favorite stop songs. Of that.
Wow.
Yeah, baby. You better believe it. Listen
you
got to
listen
thing.
To them both.
Yeah, the whole thing, front to back. Yeah. There. Briscoe, keep doing the Lord's work. We'll listen to you on Sunday, pre and post. Late night for you. And we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
I have pretty much factory settings, but if anyone knows how to reset a pancreas, I would love to do that.
Thanks, brother. Take care.
Thanks, guys.
That's Josh Briscoe, your host of Pre and Post on Chiefs Radio Network. Coming up on the other side, we get into, well, Gary Busey and a question I have for the city of Kansas City about this year's Chiefs team on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Tune in to hear former Chiefs linebacker Derek Johnson every Monday at 7:20 right here on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Guys, if you start, guys, you can, guys, I'm telling you, guys, it's
welcome into the show.
Good Lord. Tell me the next time you're going to do that so I can take my headphones off.
Geek.
There's that wonderful laugh.
Would you say today is they're celebrating Maloney nationally, you said today?
Yeah, it's National
wow.
Mutt Day.
National Mutt Day. Happy birthday, Rob.
Shout out Rob Maloney, my brother
Heck
from
yes.
another mother.
Hell Happy yeah. Birthday.
As we continue to find the orange can. He knows, I know.
Oh, hopefully he's looking for it.
Oh, you. I sent him a picture of the Christmas tree there. Now he goes, oh, nice, Busch Light. I was like, yeah, I'm trying to find the orange can. He goes, what orange? He's like, and then he sent me a picture. It's an empty 30 pack. He goes, so is my family.
Yeah, said, right? Family? Yeah. What do you get with the orange can?
I don't know.
It's not like a lot, though.
I don't know, but I'm hunting.
I think it's like a pack of gum. I kind of, because I zoomed in on the trash that Rob said. It's like, what do you get with this orange can? It's like another free beer. You know, it's like, I thought if you got the orange can, you may get cash or trip or something like that. You know, now you just get like another beer.
I bragging rights.
Yeah, I got the orange can. Bragging rights. Put it on your shelf in your fraternity. Let's go.
And then you have Gary Busey.
Here's my top three holiday desserts. Banana pudding, cranberry salad, and fried okra. Now, what are yours?
Johnny Utah, making a double for me.
Here's my top three holiday desserts. Banana pudding, cranberry salad, and fried okra.
I'll tell
now,
you what.
Now, what are yours?
Tell me you live in John Knox Village without telling me you live in John Knox Village.
Here's my top three holiday desserts. Banana pudding, cranberry salad, and fried okra. Now, what are yours?
Why does he sound and look like Rex Ryan?
The video is awful. Oh, he looks like they just found him in the dumpster.
It's rough.
I mean, he's got this old NFL hat on that he probably paid $50 for. I don't even know what kind of sweat. He looked like David Letterman at the end, you know, where he just let his beard grow a mile long. Like, just a mess, Gary Busey looks like. His favorite desserts, banana pudding, which is, that's legit.
It's good.
If you get a good banana pudding.
Damn, gotta have the vanilla wafers.
You have to.
Gotta have the vanilla wafers.
I'll take you to this place in New York when we go called Magnolia. Mm. Banana pudding. Oh, yeah. I'll tell you, man.
Sugar Magnolia.
So good.
You've been to Magnolia?
Emily ordered me some, I believe.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
It was magnificent.
It's fantastic.
Somebody goes, fried okra is a dessert. It's Gary Busey.
It's Gary Busey. Yes. Yes. I was going to say, the other two I don't know much about.
Cranberry salad.
The hell is cranberry salad?
Is that that stuff you get that like has the full cranberries in it? I mean, ugh.
Fried okra is a dessert,
I guess, for Gary.
Hey, Gary.
He puts some ice cream on top of that. And
I hate that I love this text because I do love it a lot, but I hate that I have to ask Mac this. Gary Busey was so good in Lethal Weapon as Mr. Joshua. You want a shot of the title, Jack? And Drake Savage in Black Sheep. Has Mac ever seen those movies?
Never heard of him.
Nope. You haven't seen Lethal Weapon?
I have not seen Lethal Weapon.
You haven't seen Black Sheep? No. Black Sheep was that Chris Farley's last movie?
No.
I know Lethal Weapon. Like, I know Lethal Weapon, but Black
Christmas,
Sheep,
and Lethal Weapon's a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Then it's season. Yes. It's time for me to watch it.
So is Die Hard.
Yes. Lethal. Did that last year. I'll do Lethal Weapon this year.
I don't know
Black Sheep.
I think that was Farley's last movie. I really do. I think Black Sheep was the last movie he did. Because Canadian Bacon was John Candy's last movie. Which, by the way, speaking of Canadian Bacon and John Candy, did you know that his scene in Home Alone was all just improvised?
Yeah. I told you that.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
No, I was reading that somewhere over the weekend.
And he didn't take a dime from John
Hughes.
He didn't
take 10 cents for that thing.
His last movie was in 1998, Almost Heroes. And they had a cameo with Norm MacDonald in Dirty Work in 1998.
You talking Farley or, mm-hmm, or Farley. Candy? When was Black Sheep, though?
Like 96, 97?
Okay. 96. I guess because none of those really were.
Yeah.
Just remember.
You never seen Almost Heroes? Uh-uh. You should watch it. It's
good,
funny. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Dirty Work. You never seen Dirty Work? Artie Lang, Norm MacDonald. No. Oh my gosh.
All right. I got to watch
Dirty
that.
Dirty Work's great. Yeah. Go to the garage.
Do your dirty work.
No more.
They got Shrek on there. Like he's stuck with that part.
Yeah.
Busey?
No, Farley. They got Shrek on his IMDb.
Yeah. Somebody says Lethal Weapon is the second best Christmas movie ever.
Okay.
Beverly Hills Ninja, also a great movie. Mm-hmm. Chet Walters, Who Shot the Couch?
Oh, that's what that, okay.
Yeah.
That's what that's from. Okay.
Yeah, he impersonates it's a great, great movie. Sally Jones. I Am Haru, the Great White Ninja. I've seen it way too much.
What do you think his best moment is? Because I think for
Letterman coming out.
I was just going to say the same thing.
One word. Yeah.
The exact same thing. Him entering the Letterman show, coming down the aisle the way that he did, is not talked about enough for how damn funny Chris Farley is.
Because Dave had no idea where he was.
Right.
Because he was drunk. And so Dave was like, where's Chris? And like, we don't know. He said he's here. And then all of a sudden he's like, all right, Chris Farley. And then down the stairs, like a bowling ball of fun.
It was so good.
And I think his most underrated scene on, I think it's SNL, is the coffee scene.
Yeah.
Where he's like, that's actually not coffee. What?
Yeah.
Gives him like the serious look.
Like the old Folgers crystals. We've replaced what? I do also like the get off me, I'm starving, and grabs the fries.
I thought you're on a date, Karen. These fries are good. I thought you're on a diet. If I'm starving.
Yeah.
Chippendale's at Pat Swayze.
Yeah.
Patrick Swayze, that's great.
Classic.
Lunch Lady. All those great scenes are fantastic. His Best of Saturday Night Live is amazing. Yeah,
he's just fantastic. The more we talk about him, the more I'm like, God bless. He had everything, man.
And what's funny is him and Candy are kind of like the same because he obviously took under Candy's wings.
And Belushi.
Belushi as well. And I think, Candy was on Must See TV. What was that?
No, it was
something with Eugene Levy.
Yes, it was in Canada. Oh,
New
God.
TV, something TV. And they always wanted those guys to jump over to SNL. And Lorne Michaels was like, come on over. They're like, no, we're going to stay here. Yeah. And then it was kind of like a back and forth. It was
kind of like when Fox Sports 1 hired those Canadian guys to come over from that Canadian show or whatever it was.
Was it two guys in two Blazers?
No, I want to say it was like Mike and Mike, but it wasn't. It was two guys. But they brought them on for FS1 and they were supposed to be this new Dan and Dan. I don't know what the hell it was.
SCTV.
Yeah. Great.
I just watched that entrance by Chris Farley. That's awesome.
Oh,
I'd never seen that. That's hilarious.
Hammered out of his mind and God knows what else. Probably some cocaine as well. But I mean, he was. The biography is awesome and it's sad because Adam Sandler has like the final scene and he's like, Chris was clean. Like Chris was totally clean and ready to go. He goes, but the problem in life is that we have the problem of being able to continue to say no. He's like, everywhere we'd go, it'd be like, hey, here's a joint. Hey, here's this. Hey, here's a line. Hey, here's a drink. Here's this. He's like, no, I'm sober. And eventually he broke. And it just was like the end. And he took like they say in the movie Casino, Ginger took a hot dose.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And then we never saw Chris again. Gone way too soon. One of the funniest people in the world. My favorite comedian of all time.
Didn't he die the same age as Belushi?
Yeah.
And like on the same day?
Almost in the same way, too.
In the same way,
Because I think there's a report that Robin Williams was with John Belushi when he died.
Oh,
and
my.
Left the house earlier that night. And then it was found out that he had died and Robin Williams was there.
Oh, my God.
And some say that kind of messed up.
I was going to say, now we know a little bit more about Robin. Because you never recover from that, does
he?
God, no.
I want to ask a question a little bit later on. I was going to get to it about the Kansas City Chiefs. When we come back on the other side, brought to you by Jay Southland Toe. Start, bench, cut. It's a Tuesday. We get to it. Brought to you by Jay Southland Toe. Start, bench, cut on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.